Hello and welcome to another episode of OKC Over Easy on the Spy FM podcast network. This week, I have my friend Brandon Smith from Dwelling Table. He is a food photographer and freelance marketer, a hospitality marketer. So we dish about all sorts of things, including Chipotle, the new Craig's Curious Emporium location. And we also talk about our favorite food photographers and bloggers. It was a really fun episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it. As always, you can find me on Instagram at OKCOverEasy, on overeasy.blog, on the interwebs, and I'm just all over. So if you like the show, please subscribe and leave me a rating or review, because it really helps the show out. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Bye. Turn it to you and then just kind of get it close.
I need to get close.
You need to get like how
this
far I am away from it.
Personal with OKC.
Yeah. Yeah, that's perfect. Hi, welcome. Welcome,
hi.
Brandon.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast. What did you do this morning?
Okay, this morning this is bad.
This is dad.
I woke up.
Brandon's a dad.
Yeah, Brandon is a dad. I woke up at 3:30 this morning.
No.
I think that I have like an overactive brain.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Was your heart beating like really fast?
No. Oh, okay. But I'll like, this happens like way less now than it used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I will randomly wake up like 3:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Wide awake.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
There's no going back to bed.
Yeah.
And I used to just get up and like tinker around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Watch like some YouTube videos, mm-hmm. or something like that. Now I get in the car, I go for a drive.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Where do you go?
Anywhere. Like
okay.
Today, I got on Western.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, hold on. I do always stop by Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay. Because it's all open 24 hours.
Yeah. They're open 24 hours. And like, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's 3:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Nothing else is open.
Get the coffee. The people at the... Actually, the people at both locations, the one on May,
uh-huh.
and then the one on 23rd Street,
mm-hmm.
super nice.
Do they know you?
No,
do you come
not
by
really.
Often?
Like, I'm not there that often.
Okay.
But, like, you know, for being up at uh-huh. 3 a.m.,
yeah.
they are super nice. Yeah, shout out to Dunkin' Donuts. You guys are so nice.
I've been having a really weird, like, wake up and my heart's beating really fast. Like, can't
okay.
go back to sleep. So I just got off all of the medication that I had been on. Okay. So I was on some like antidepressants. I'm off of it completely. And so now I have this weird thing that if I get woken up, and usually it's by my boyfriend getting into bed like later than me, then my heart will just start beating really fast and I'll be like panic attack mode. Like,
okay.
I don't know what's going on. So it happened last night. And I get so mad when it happens like on the weekends because I'm like, I'm trying to sleep in. Like,
uh-huh.
And so I just get really frustrated. I usually just go in the living room and lay down. For some reason,
okay.
sleeping on the couch, like, helps me. But maybe I should just, like, get up and go to Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't know. Maybe. So I go to Dunkin' Donuts, and then today I hopped on Western, and I just traveled north.
Mm.
Okay? And I kept going north until it turned into a gravel road.
Oh.
Okay? And so then
this is, like,
going.
The creepiest
this
story
is,
that's
I know,
ever
actually
been
is
told.
Getting kind of creepy because I was like, I really didn't mean for it to go this far. But I went out, and I'm on this gravel road, and I'm driving, and, like, it's kind of muddy.
Uh-huh.
And my car is sliding a little bit.
Yeah.
And then there's this dog barking, chasing my car.
No.
And I'm like, this is going to happen to me. It's 3:30 a.m. I'm going to get stuck in the mud.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm going to have to get out. This dog's going to bite me on the leg.
Yeah.
And then, like, a cannibal is going to come and slice me up. You know what I'm saying?
Because you're in, like, deep within North Edmond,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People are going to be like, what was he doing out there anyway? And my family's like, well, he gets up at 3 sometimes.
Yeah,
in the
what does your wife do? Is she just like, that's fine?
Yeah. She's
okay.
cool with it. I mean, it kind of sounds kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, but, like, it's just whatever.
That's just what happens. So you
yeah.
woke up at 3:30. Did you ever go back to sleep? This
no.
morning. Oh,
no,
my
I came
gosh.
Back.
You
I
are
did
hyped.
Some work.
Yeah.
My daughter woke up. I got
mm-hmm.
her out of bed,
mm-hmm.
fed her, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to spin class.
Where'd you go?
The YMCA.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I have been to spin class there.
Okay. Who was your teacher?
Lindsay. This was years ago. Two
okay.
years ago.
Yeah.
It was the downtown one.
Yeah.
Fourth
yeah,
Street.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
the one I go to.
Yeah. I don't like the bikes because they're V-shaped.
What?
The bikes are like V-shaped. They're not
like. What does
like,
that mean?
There's two different types of spin bikes, okay? I know this because I am a certified spin teacher. Nuh-uh. You did not know this about me.
I've been thinking about it.
I never actually like got to the point where I taught classes, but I was really into spin for a while and would go to Moxie Ride. May they rest in forever peace. I know they're still open, okay. But like Cycle Bar has like knocked them in their dirt. Like okay. They just aren't as popular. They used to be the only spin, like, Soul Cycle-ish spin class in the city. Yeah. And now Cycle Bar is open and it's like...
I've never been to Cycle Bar.
See, I like it. It's way too expensive. I cannot afford it. So I did the four classes for 6 months and I still have a bunch of classes there. The only teacher I really loved was Allie. And now she is on maternity leave. So she's just like not teaching anymore.
Oh, okay. So you're taking a break.
So I'm taking a break because Allie's taking a break.
You come to the downtown Y.
Okay. I'll come to the downtown Y.
So there's
with
a class
you.
I go to way early in the morning, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 5:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a commitment to, you know, arrive then. But there's this guy, Buzz. Uh-huh. He's like, he's the bomb.
Wow.
And then Saturday morning I go and I actually don't know the teacher's name, but she's really nice too.
Is the music good there?
Well, It's like hit or miss.
Okay.
It kind of depends. Around Christmas time, Buzz was playing like some like heavy metal Christmas music.
Okay.
Or something like that. Yeah. It's like a, yeah. But actually, that's why I thought, man, I would really like to become a spin instructor so that I could pick the playlist.
So my favorite spin instructor, and he was at Moxie Ride, is Colin Strickland. I don't know if you know him, but he... No. Was like, he always had the most on point playlist. He was just such a good teacher. He wasn't like way too in your face, but he also like pushed you. So he was the one that was like, okay, I think I'm gonna go like get my spin certification. I went to Austin. I took this like weekend long intensive, and then I have like my spinning.com like certification, but okay. I don't teach anywhere. And I haven't been to a spin class in like months.
Okay. I think that there are two kinds of spin class. There's like the one where the teacher is like, you can do it, keep it up. And then there's one where like the teacher's a drill sergeant.
Right.
Yeah. And they're like, bust it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now. Which one are you?
I would say the first one.
Okay.
I'm more of like the laid back, like if you're not feeling it today, like maybe just take a little bit off the resistance. But if you can push yourself, like push yourself. I'm not like, do it, you know, like some spin teachers are. But yeah, it's funny. So the biggest drama now is that Cycle Bar has like Class and Curve, right? And it's a franchise. So there's three more franchises opening up, one in Chisholm Creek, one in Norman, and then I think one in Edmond. And they're all competing against each other now. So it feels like a movie. Like, it feels like a Bring It On type spin class. Okay. Like, I'm just excited to watch it go down.
And here we go.
It'll be interesting. So my friend Brandon's here today, and we're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about Chipotle. Yes. We're going to talk about life. But Brandon is a food photographer and marketing consultant, hospitality management, things like that. And if you listened to last week's episode, him and Emma Ryan work very closely together. So if you went and visited her website or, you know, followed her on social media, a lot of his photos will be on there. So it's kind of like a double trouble this week. I met Brandon. He asked me to go coffee because he found the website and we had just a great time talking for hours. So he came on the podcast and he also suggested Emma Ryan come on. And so I'm so glad I've got to meet you guys, and you are just bringing so much to like the Oklahoma food scene. So it's awesome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I've gotten to meet you too.
Yeah. We're having so much fun. So we're going to go through the segments, eat of the week. So this is where I talk about any restaurant or food that I am enjoying. So do you have an eat of the week for this week?
Okay. At my house, my wife has been making homemade sushi.
That's like next level.
It sounds next level, and maybe it is. Actually, you know, I work in food. I shoot a lot of food, but she is the cook.
Okay, yeah.
She's the cook, and she's a great cook.
Do you ever take pictures of her food?
No. But actually, like, in our house, it's not really a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, we kind of don't care.
Yeah.
But if she ever wanted that, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the sushi is like next level, especially for being at home, you know, because you go out and you're like, you're going to spend however much money on sushi. But at home, you get to eat as much sushi as you want. Yes.
It's like an all you can eat. I guess Covell Park used to have like an all you can eat sushi day. I think it was like, $35. I'm sure it's way less.
Yeah. She was like, well, actually, you know, we were talking about this and she's like, you need to make sure that you talk about my homemade sushi. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's
what's your wife's name?
Kelsey.
Kelsey. So Kelsey. Shout out to Kelsey's homemade sushi. Yeah,
love
for
you,
sure.
baby.
So does she make the rice like in the Instant Pot or something? Or
we just got an Instant Pot.
Okay.
Like that was what I got her for her birthday.
Oh, okay.
But no.
How does she make the rice?
She makes it on the stove.
Okay.
I think. But there's like a special sushi rice that you use.
Yes.
So it's not just Joe Schmo's rice.
Right.
You're buying for this. It's like sticky.
Uh-huh. And you have to do something else to it. You have to like cool
it vinegar
down.
In it. Okay.
And yeah, you have to do something. I'm sure you could probably do that with the Instant Pot. We steam our rice in the Instant Pot, so it like makes it really nice. And
yeah.
I messed it up the other day because for some reason in my head I thought it was 2-1 ratio when it's 1-1 ratio. And
oh, like rice to water?
Yeah, I just screwed the whole thing up. And so it just all went down the garbage disposal.
It's okay.
Usually Mike is the one that makes the rice in the Instant Pot.
Oh, okay.
So tell me what you put in the sushi.
All right. We keep it pretty simple. Uh-huh. We've been doing like just like I think this is like what the California roll is. Like
okay.
Cucumber, carrot, and a little bit of avocado.
Nice. So yeah. Veggie.
Yeah, veggie. Mm-hmm. We're not like on some strict vegetarian diet or anything. It's just easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make some spicy mayo.
Yeah.
And yeah, like we'll have like the, you know, the paper there on the table and a bowl of rice and whatever you want to put in it. And you just make it. Excuse me. You just make it there.
That's nice. I love that. Maybe
love
that kind of inspires me to go eat some sushi and then maybe make my own.
Yeah.
Sushi rolling night would be like a fun activity to do with like your friends or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have an eat of the week. So I haven't eaten any thing new lately. And I talked last week, and to pull the curtain back, we're recording these on the same day. But I had Ted's last night, obviously. I love Ted's. It was National Margarita Day. Me and my boyfriend split a steak fajita chimichanga meal, which I don't usually go for the beans and rice. So I just eat half of the chimichanga, and that's like enough for me. Yeah. So we were like eating the chips and queso and the tortillas and like all that, and then you just feel terrible when you go home. So then after I told that to Emma, and then we're talking about like plant-based lifestyle, I'm like, maybe I just need to like go for that.
She makes it look so easy.
I know.
Yeah, she does.
I know. I love it. Okay, so next up is Grocery Gab. So this is where I discuss any grocery store news, and then I want to hear like where you grocery shop, or where your wife grocery shops.
That's true. Yeah. Kelsey's doing the grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Also, shout out to Kelsey for being such a great grocery shopper.
Okay, where does she grocery shop?
Yeah. So let's get down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
All right. We're trying to work it out. I have like the places that I like, but we are like those people currently who go to like 2 or 3 places.
Yeah,
on
I'm the same.
Day to get what they want. It drives my wife crazy.
Mm.
Honestly, most of the stuff that I like is at Trader Joe's.
Okay.
Okay.
Shout out to Emma's last episode where she said she hated Trader Joe's. I love it.
Do you love Trader Joe's?
Yes. I definitely shop there. Like, okay. It's not my number 1 choice, really, but there are some things that I'm like, it's just a convenience thing when it comes
Absolutely.
To Trader Joe's. I would rather go to Crest. But it's just a drive.
Okay.
Yeah, for me. Yeah. And Trader Joe's closest to my house.
I like Crest.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of grew up on Crest.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, my
same.
Mom loves Crest.
Yeah. Crest or Winco right now is like my two.
Now, I've heard you talk about Winco, and I have yet to go.
Oh, my God. It's so crazy. Okay. It's like, literally, you will be like, what is this place?
The thing I remember you talking about is like, there's a section for like doomsday peppers.
Yes. It's like dehydrated food. I'm not kidding. Like, and they have these big buckets that you can buy to like store all your food in. And they have like dehydrated like chicken and broccoli, and they have all these powders. It's like in the back where all the bulk bins are.
It's like another room.
Kind of like there's like a bakery, and then the meat selection sucks. I have been going to Whole Foods for whatever meat that we need to get.
Okay.
So I wouldn't buy meat from Winco, but everything else they have, and they have like their brand, and then they have every other brand you could ever imagine there as well. So it's bigger than any grocery store.
Where is this?
It's on 39th. Okay. Expressway. It's almost to Bethany, but okay. It is crazy. Do not go right now. Like, if you're listening to this, like,
on the weekend,
on a Saturday afternoon, do not go there.
No, that will boil my blood.
I like Saturday evenings to go, like around 9.
Okay.
Now, I do keep my mace with me, like, in the parking lot, whatever, but I do like to go, like, when it's kind of late, because it opened 24 hours.
Sure.
Along with Crest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. So,
but Trader Joe's.
Okay. Trader Joe's. I do like Trader Joe's. I will not frown upon Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Like it, what you said about the convenience, that's exactly it. Like when I first started cooking, I kind of went on this spree where it was like, anytime I'm cooking, I wanted to make everything from scratch. And now with like a career and a wife and a kid, I'm like all about the convenience. Mm-hmm. So like the frozen orange chicken. Okay, like I had to take a break, to be completely honest. I could eat a whole bag of frozen orange chicken by myself.
We literally talked about this in the last episode. Like,
really? How awful it is for you? No. Don't think about it.
We won't. Yeah. I ate it this week. Like, it's good.
Yeah. It is good. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. I kind of weird thing. I like to eat frozen fruit. Okay, like,
yes.
Like a snack.
Yeah.
And they're
mangoes.
Pineapple tidbits at Trader Joe's are the best, and you can't get those same way they cut it anywhere else. And I'm like guilty of being this complete creature of habit. I like what I like, and I want it from where I want it, and it has to be the way that like I enjoy it, because it's some stupid snack thing.
Yeah.
Anyway. But one time we got the frozen pineapple from like wherever else, and it was like,
it just wasn't the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the frozen mango. I feel like that's like it tastes like candy.
Okay, I've done the mango. Mm-hmm. Every now and then you get like a bad batch.
And you get like a bad piece. It's like it's like part of the core or something.
Yes. Yeah,
you gotta watch out.
Fibers.
You gotta watch
out
for those.
Yeah. You didn't think that would happen, but it does. Yeah.
It's like you can tell, because I let it defrost a little bit, like before I eat it, just so I can tell which ones are bad and which ones are not bad. Yeah, but I like the frozen mango. I'll have to try the pineapple tidbits. I'm very guilty of buying frozen fruit, and it just sits in the freezer forever until we throw it out.
That's why you have to buy like the right kind. Like, don't go trying to eat like frozen whole strawberries, because you just like break your teeth.
That's disgusting.
You know, and like actually frozen blueberries, they like don't really have a ton of flavor.
Yeah.
They just stay in your hand.
The frozen raspberries are good. I like frozen raspberries with like yogurt. You can put it in like in the refrigerator, and all the juice melts off it. It's like super tangy.
This is like a blog post waiting to happen. Like, the best frozen fruits that you could eat, like
we should
rank from best to worst.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. You should put that on your website.
Yeah. Okay.
I had your website up yesterday at work when I was like, I mean, I was doing my Gulfport work, obviously.
Yeah.
I had your website up yesterday at work, and somebody came in. They're like, what is that? I was like, oh, just like some amazing food photography.
Thank you.
Like so beautiful, and you have it set out like really nice. We talked about this when we were at coffee. Like, we just really appreciate when someone puts a lot of thought into their website.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes
absolutely
you have some bad fonts, you have some not right-sized photos, but definitely we appreciate whenever you have, like, beautiful restaurant photo, like, quality pictures, things like that.
Yeah.
So,
well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
So the next segment is restaurant review, which this isn't really restaurant review. This is, we're talking about a new restaurant. And I have a couple of things to say about the Paseo Arts District. So the same day that Mexican Radio was announced, 84 Hospitality, which is Empire and Goro Ramen and I'm on like the forums Pony now. Boy. Pony Boy.
Revolution.
Yeah, Revolution. They are opening a restaurant, and it's in the old Craig's Curious Emporium location. Did you ever go into Craig's?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, man, it's the best.
Okay, now they just moved to 23rd Street, right? And they inhabited that dance studio.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
So, Craig's.
That's about as much as I know.
Let me tell you about Craig's. Craig's is a wonderful place. It has all the magical things in the world that you could think of. So, there's crystals. There's, like, there's home decor. There's...
When you say home decor, what are you talking
like
about?
Like pillows? Okay. Like they have lots of pillows there.
Like I'm thinking you're about to start talking about like
you gargoyles.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Like you stop at that travel center on your way out of Oklahoma, and there's like the ceramic wolf and the ceramic fairy.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
So there's a section for mermaids. There's a section for gargoyles. There's a section for you know. Unicorn, there's a whole unicorn section. And Craig's has been around forever. And that was like what we would do. We'd like go eat in the Paseo and then go walk around Craig's because there's always something to look at. So recently I've been getting into crystals, which is something new for me. I've never really been like that connected to them, but I picked up a quartz at the new Craig's location, which is on 23rd. It's very nice. I think I like it better than the Paseo location. So I'm a little bit happy that they moved to that location. It's just
like, you're like, okay, he knows about traded chest or whatever it was. So apparently there was a whole bunch of people that would ask very like topical questions, meaning should I eat brown rice or white rice? Or what time should I have breakfast? Or what sort of carbohydrate should I have for my workout? And they weren't getting the big picture, which is that your body composition, you know, gaining muscle and losing fat is really more about the totality of what you eat throughout the day and throughout the weeks and long term. And they're getting just too caught up in these really micromanaging of things.
Yeah.
So this guy came up with an acronym, IFYM.
Okay.
To kind of just quickly post on stuff when people would ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he would kind of explain it of, if it fits your macros, then you can eat it.
Okay.
Right? Meaning like if it's brown rice or white rice and you have that many carbs to eat for the day, whatever. And that's sort of the origin of it. And then what, 10 years later, at least now, it's becoming, you know, turned into something not so awesome where it's essentially not if it's white rice or brown rice, can you eat it? But it's like how much junk can I eat and essentially still hit my numbers. But that's been... At least from my understanding, that was the origin of it. I have no idea who that like person was. It probably was more of a group of people that really started to popularize it. And then people that I kind of heard it from were like Lyle McDonald and Alan Aragon, who were older researchers now, probably like in their 40s and 50s. And they weren't, they're more hard science type of guys. And then a lot of people like, I'm certainly a very small fish, but people like myself and other people who are a little bit younger have kind of more popularized it with social media and writing ebooks and stuff like that.
So. It's very interesting to me that it was born kind of out of the internet and like out of, it's like totally different than, you know, any other diet that you can think or way of eating.
It was
you know?
Essentially a quick way to explain to people why it was okay for them to eat white rice and not brown rice. And he could have written a 20-page ebook on why it was the case, but it's obviously a lot easier to give someone, if it fits your macros, you can eat it. They're like, okay, that means I can have it. And then that applies to really any food decision. You know, can I have milk? Because dairy is bad for me. It would apply to that. You know, so it was kind of his really simple way of giving some people some good advice, you know?
Okay, cool. So just do, I guess, like a little rundown of like what it means to track your macros. Because we started, you and I started, I was like, okay, I'm going to track my macros. I probably got 3 or 4 weeks into it and I was like, okay, this is great. And then I just like fell off the wagon. It was in a time where my job was a little bit stressful and I was like not focused on it. And I was like, I don't want to keep stringing you along and being like, I'm dedicated to this when I'm really not. But I thought it was a great experiment, just to see how my body reacted to it and like how my mind reacted to it, and also just to put it in practice for for a few weeks. So I thought it was awesome. So thank you for coaching me those times.
I think one of the, you know, it's certainly all my nutrition clients track, not maybe their macros, but they track something for me because I'm just a very analytical person. Mm-hmm. And I do think the people that would enjoy tracking their macros mm-hmm. tend to be more analytical people. Mm-hmm. I have worked with some people who are like fit people mm-hmm. or in shape people trying to get more in shape. Mm-hmm. And they just try it out because it's, you know, a little bit more popular and fatty now.
Yeah.
And they don't like tracking stuff on their phones. Mm-hmm. They're not number people. They're not spreadsheet people. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Like, it just may not be the, some people are really good about just like having a flow and habits and how they feel.
Yeah.
And that's
how your clothes fit.
Right. And that's how it works for them. But, really for a lot of people, it's, I would say a last resort, mm-hmm. but it's okay. Like, you tried really simple rules, like eating every 3 hours, mm-hmm. or you tried not having dairy, like those, mm-hmm. like these simple things. And when you track your macros, assuming whoever you're working with is doing their job correctly and, mm-hmm. and you're patient with it, it's like a surefire way to improve your physique, mm-hmm. right? Because you can go on paleo or go on keto or whatever and just eat foods mm-hmm. and hope you're in a calorie deficit to lose weight.
Right.
But if you're tracking your calories and your macros, you're going to be in a deficit.
You know, right? Yeah,
so
you know
it, exactly. It is more work up front for people. Mm-hmm. But for those people who have, you know, kind of tried a whole bunch of things and then they're like, okay, I'm going to invest some time in it. Mm-hmm. It can kind of be a life changer for those people, I think.
You know? Yeah. And when you track macros, you're talking about tracking your macronutrients.
Yes.
And you're tracking your carbs, your protein, and your fat.
Right.
So if it fits your macros, I guess. So like you look at the nutritional information in, you know, a protein bar or a, you know, cup of white rice or whatever. And then you make sure that fits your numbers for the day. So how do you determine the numbers for your different clients?
Right. So yeah, that's really a measure. When people work with me, they fill out a questionnaire and I get things like their height and their weight and their age, how many hours a week they work out, mm-hmm. what they do for a living, because that's like their activity level.
Right.
It's almost actually more important than your exercise, because if you have a very physically demanding job for 8 hours a day, that's going to burn a lot of calories. Mm-hmm. Or if you just sit down for 8 hours a day, that's minimal.
Right.
So I get all of these factors and then I create a rough estimate of what I think they should start off with. Mm-hmm. Without going into too many details, when people track their macros with me, they do tend, most people at least, not everyone, probably maybe a core of my clients don't do this, but most people go with a sort of low fat, moderate carb, high protein intake. Mm-hmm. And it's all relative, right? For someone who's, you know, a 230-pound male, mm-hmm. low fat could be 85 grams. And for someone that's a 105-pound female, low fat could be 45 grams,
that's
right?
But it's very low.
Right. But it's relative, though, into their overall food. Right. It's going to be low fat, moderate carb, high protein. Mm-hmm. And obviously, again, without too much sciencey stuff, you're figuring out someone's calorie intake. Mm-hmm. And then all macros are is breaking that calorie number into a certain amount of fat, carbs, and protein, right? Mm-hmm. So if you've tracked your calories before, like you said, you did Weight Watchers, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
Which is essentially
the same
number form of tracking your calories.
Yeah.
You've also tracked your macros and vice versa, because you cannot track your macros without tracking your calories.
Yeah.
So once someone's in that deficit, though, and this is a bigger conversation for people who, most people's goal is to lose weight, mm-hmm. you have to find whatever habits, trends you need to do to consistently be in that calorie deficit. Mm-hmm. That's how any diet is going to effectively work. Mm-hmm. If your friend did keto or paleo or whatever for 6 months and lost weight, that worked for them because they can consistently be in that calorie deficit.
Right.
And I'm not saying that everyone's going to have the same exact habits to be in that calorie deficit, but that's what has to occur, right? And the reason for my low-fat, moderate-carb, high-protein template for a lot of people is that tends to keep them the most full mm-hmm. while they're still in a calorie deficit. There's a lot of factors why people go off of their diet and mm-hmm. just eat too much and then stop making progress. Mm-hmm. But constantly being hungry is certainly one of them. Mm-hmm. So if I can have one group of people say eat, or two groups of people say eat 2,000 calories, mm-hmm. but one person's more on like a high fat, moderate carb, low protein, other person's like low fat, moderate carb, high protein, the higher protein group, mm-hmm. lower fat group's going to be more full. Therefore, they're going to be able to sustain that deficit for a much longer time period, right? So that's something that I think people need to be wary of. And it's just really about food volume, meaning if you put those two diets I talked about of maybe say a higher fat, low protein diet mm-hmm. versus a low fat, high protein diet, and you put those 2,000 calorie diets on the table, the high protein foods are going to take up so much more space. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can literally eat a lot of food, yeah. like food mass, mm-hmm. without eating a whole bunch of calories,
right.
which can really just help people sustain that deficit for a long time.
Yeah, so they're not hungry all the time.
Right, and that's certainly going to be beneficial for their adherence mm-hmm. to that.
I have a bunch of like the typical questions, so yeah. I think I'm going to go through that. So you typically track macros, and when you mentioned Weight Watchers, I thought this was really interesting. You do it on your phone or, you know, MyFitnessPal or whatever. And when I think about Weight Watchers, when I did it, they didn't have the app. So yeah. it was like
harder,
you
yeah.
literally did it in like a little book. You had a tiny little calculator, like you couldn't yeah. just search. So I tracked the macros in MyFitnessPal, and you could see what your breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack was each day. So that's basically like where you typically track them. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of my clients use MyFitnessPal. Mm-hmm. Another big one is called My Macros Plus mm-hmm. that some people like. I generally like MyFitnessPal because it tends to be the biggest database when you go and like eat out.
Okay.
So if you're going, obviously, if you go to something local, it's not going to have something in there. But if you go to Chick-fil-A or you mm-hmm. go to Chipotle or something like that, it's going to be in MyFitnessPal. Mm-hmm. So it tends to be more flexible to people's diets. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the time we live in now, it is so incredibly easy to track those sort of things.
Right.
Like I remember in high school when I tracked my calories for the first time, I did it on like, and I'm not that, I'm 26. I'm not old. I mean, I'm not old. And, I did that and I look back and be like, I don't know if I'd put that much effort into it again. If I had to, like it was so, I'd like do the math by myself mm-hmm. and like all of that. So yeah, I mean, being able to, like I said, if you work with someone, they say you should have 200 carbs a day mm-hmm. and you just go into MyFitnessPal and not even like trying to eat healthy, but just track what you have for breakfast. Like I had 2 eggs and mm-hmm. half a cup of oatmeal, and it'll literally just tell you how many fat, carbs, and protein are in that food.
Right.
And that's kind of just helps people from an educational standpoint of a lot of people, you know, we grow up in a world where it's usually more binary. Mm-hmm. It's apples are good and whole grains are good mm-hmm. and then ice cream is bad.
Right.
But our physiology is way more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have been told growing up that a whole grain bagel is quote unquote healthy. Mm-hmm. So you get that every time you go to Starbucks.
Right.
And then you track that one day and it's 65 grams of carbs. Mm-hmm. And I tell you should have 200 a day. You're mm-hmm. like, that's like a third of my carbs
right.
at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, so you learn maybe the things you thought were, you know, healthy for you, maybe aren't as healthy. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something like strawberries, which you thought like were high in sugar and quote unquote bad. Mm-hmm. They're actually super filling and awesome for you. Mm-hmm. Right. So it does kind of help people with just I don't have to even teach them these things. They just track their food and they sort of learn those habits.
Right. That's interesting you brought that up because I wanted to ask you about sugar intake because yes. you don't track sugar. So it might be a little easy to get high on that side of things, or what would you say to that?
Yeah. Yeah. So the way I can get around that for a lot of, I kind of can trick people into not eating too much sugar. Right. So give that example of someone's eating 200 grams of carbohydrates. So obviously any food you eat that has sugar in it, mm-hmm. that's a carbohydrate. So
right.
if you have a soda and it has 38 grams of carbs, it's going to be 38 grams of sugar.
Right.
There's other things like, you know, a banana or mm-hmm. milk that's going to have some sugar carbs and some non-sugar carbs
okay.
in there. Okay. So if I have someone not go over that max 200 carb number. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. They just only can, even theoretically, they only can have 200 grams of sugar and not be over that, right?
Right.
But then I also give people, and this is one of the things people don't think about when they track their macros, a fiber target. Mm-hmm. And fiber actually is a macronutrient, mm-hmm. meaning it's a large nutrient that we consume. That's all that macro means. It means that we generally consume them in like gram quantities mm-hmm. versus like potassium is a micronutrient, meaning on a high potassium day, you would have like 5 grams,
okay.
right? Like 5,000 milligrams, mm-hmm. right? But obviously, you're never going to have 5 grams of fat, carbs, or protein or fiber in a day. So fiber foods, things like fruits, vegetables, mm-hmm. whole grains, tend not to be paired so much with sugar, right? So if you have, say, oatmeal, if you have strawberries, if you have broccoli, those things are somewhat decently high in carbs, but they're mm-hmm. mostly fibrous.
Okay.
So say if I have someone, females eat at least 20 grams of fiber throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And because even things like strawberries, oatmeal, broccoli, maybe a cup of oatmeal has 30 grams of carbs mm-hmm. and 6 of those are from fiber. So they get 6 from that. And then they get, I know, 200 grams of strawberries. There's 12 grams of carbs and 6 grams of fiber, yada, yada, yada. So for a female to hit that 20 grams of fiber number, mm-hmm. they're going to have to eat a good amount of whole foods to meet that.
Right.
So maybe she accumulates 125 grams of carbs just to meet that 20 gram of fiber number. Mm-hmm. And then she now only has so much room until that 200 overall carb number. So you kind of give yourself this minimum of I eat at least 20 grams of fiber mm-hmm. and I don't go over 200 grams of overall carbs. So you pretty much have a pretty small window of eating junk in there.
Right.
A more simple way to think of that is just like the 80-20 rule, where
right.
80% of your food should be, and when I say healthy, I don't mean like some person on the internet has demonized it once.
Right.
I mean, you could ask like your 5-year-old niece, like, hey, should we drink milk? And they're like, yeah, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. Or they could say like, cake's bad for you, right?
Right.
So 80% of the stuff should be, you know, whole food stuff, and that 20% can be cake and ice cream and soda that you 100% know is not promoting your health, right? Mm-hmm. It's a similar kind of way to think about that. It's just a little bit more systematized with the fiber and total carbs. So I don't really have people track their sugar intake
okay.
because of that. Mm-hmm. And it also gets really wacky because if you do, and you'll see your sugar intake on MyFitnessPal, mm-hmm. and if you go with the standards on there, I want to talk about the standards of our government, but it'll say like
insane.
They'll say like 50 grams of sugar or something.
Yeah.
Like even my healthiest clients don't stay under.
Right.
And I work with pretty healthy individuals.
Yeah.
It doesn't distinguish between naturally occurring sugar uh-huh. and added sugar.
Yeah.
Meaning if you have a banana and that has 8 grams of sugar, it's just going to go in your sugar bank.
Uh-huh.
And if you have Coca-Cola, it's going to go in your sugar bank. Right. So you theoretically could have milk sugars and fruit sugars and things like that, mm-hmm. have that be a good chunk of your overall sugar intake and it looked like a problem, right? But again, when you're eating things like fruit sugar mm-hmm. that's paired mm-hmm. with fiber,
right?
It's not going to, that's how you kind of can check yourself of, hey, is my sugar number showing up as red on my MyFitnessPal? Is this an issue? You can just ask yourself, for this individual, am I over that 20 grams of fiber? Am mm-hmm. I under my 200 grams of carbs?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, you really cannot do that and eat too much added sugar because you're just going to either be low fiber or go over your total carbs. So, and most of the research is pretty clear that the sugar that's bad for us is the added sugar, mm-hmm. right? Not milk sugar,
right.
fruit sugar. And it's really in combination with just excess calories in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like if your goal is to, you know, lose weight and you're losing,
like I make an inventory in my head or on my phone, I'm like, oh, I need to get this, this, and this, and this, and this, like plates and like DVDs or something, whatever reason I need DVDs for, it's 2016. You know what I mean?
Do you not use Amazon?
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I can go to Target and get all of it. I don't have to go to like five different places, and I can go to Starbucks.
And you can get like a card or something there, like a birthday card or whatever.
Yes, you can get everything at
Supercard. And the thing is like, even with the produce, like if you need something kind of a little bit obscure at Aldi, like you really can't get it. Like I always look for eggplant because like you can only really, Not in that way.
She's trying to get that eggplant.
But I always look for eggplant because I like to make eggplant parmesan, but the only place I can really find it is Whole Foods. So it's like, I looked at Target today and they didn't have it. And obviously they didn't have it at Aldi because their produce section is pretty
small. Fact that you said obviously they didn't have it at Aldi should tell you what the answer is.
Okay, okay, okay. I guess we're going to have to go with Super Target on this one.
I can't believe I won.
I really love You're Aldi, welcome, but Super Target. It doesn't have mass appeal, right?
You're welcome, Target.
Target, please sponsor this podcast.
I'm available for commercials.
I'm a little bit sad because I did like Aldi, but
let's assume Target wins because they will.
Yeah.
Target
wins the whole thing.
Not the whole thing. This matchup. Yeah. Who would they potentially be going up against?
Either Native Roots or Uptown Grocery. Which
Native Roots could be a problem. Uptown Grocery I wouldn't be worried about. Super Target's my dog now.
Super Target versus Native Roots?
Native Roots could be a problem for Super Target. I don't think Uptown Grocery would be.
Why? You can get everything at Uptown Grocery.
Is that the one that has the bar in it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay, maybe it would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I feel like...
That's their biggest point.
I'm not... we haven't recorded that one yet, but I don't know about Native Roots.
Really? Yeah, it's small. It's smaller than Aldi, so...
Yeah, and it's like you can get paper towels at Uptown Grocery, but I don't know if you can get that at Native Roots.
Really?
I don't know. I haven't been to Native Roots.
Uptown Grocery, but a big selling point for me on Target was that they have Starbucks, and Uptown Grocery has a bar, right?
No, Uptown Grocery has a bar, a coffee bar, a juice bar. God like damn it has literally everything.
I might need to go there.
Well, we're taking a tour tomorrow if you guys want to go. But yeah, Uptown and Native Roots. That's who's gonna Super Target is gonna go. I think we've decided on Super Target, right?
But the people haven't voted yet.
No, we are deciding.
Oh, I thought it was a vote.
The first 16 are a vote. This is like... This is like where we choose.
Why don't you leave it... Why don't you let the people vote for all of it?
Because I feel like I want people to come on and we decide.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So now are you going to change your vote?
No, I just didn't know that this whole time I was wielding so much power.
Yeah.
You are. Shit. I might no.
What do you feel bad?
I was a surprise guest. What am I doing here? This
no,
happened?
I love that you're on it though.
Well, I sold her on Super Target, so I feel confident.
I think no, we're deciding it.
Yeah,
Super Target is the winner of this matchup.
Yes, Super Target's the winner.
What I don't like is that it's going to move on, and I think if it was at a vote for the public, Super Target would beat Native Roots or Uptown Grocery. But if you're deciding, Super Target's going to lose. You're going to have a grudge.
The next group is me and the Bubble OKC girls.
They are not going to vote for Super Target.
Maybe they will. Eh. I don't know.
My biggest complaint about Super Target is that I cannot figure out how to
play. It's too amazing.
Play when to get my frozen foods. You know, it's like you do your grocery shopping, kind of.
You get your frozen foods. Like,
you can get them last.
I know, but it's like, it's just such a...
What a struggle.
Deal for myself.
All right, Sarah. Jesus Christ. We need to get you off Tinder. God damn.
Tinder.
Jesus. Get them last. That's all you have to do.
But it's like I go for groceries and I shouldn't go check out the clothing or the shoes.
No, you check out the clothing and shoes first and then you go get your groceries.
No, see, I like don't have the mental power to like be like, yes, I'm going to do, you know, it's like not an inevitability for me yet. When I'm in there.
Okay.
Until I'm shopping around and I'm like, oh, wait, gotta like check.
Moment of silence, though, for the Target in Midwest City.
What happened to Target? Did they go away?
It's like high school reunion.
Yeah, every time we go, it's like we see.
Why do you go to Target Midwest City?
Because our family still is there. Okay. Yeah, so
I like to just keep, I like to keep up with Target.
I mean, we've decided, I guess. Super Target moves on.
Thank God.
All right.
Crisis averted.
Well,
would there have been another matchup that Aldi would have won against at this round?
Natural Grocers.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
I think Aldi could have won against
Natural
Grocers. And that's probably it. I'm a Crest fan, actually.
I'm a
Crest all the way.
I'm a Crest fan.
I think Crest
for sure.
It. I think it takes it.
Bryce is like in, like he wants Crest to win, so I don't know.
Crest is a dark horse.
Is it weird
you think Crest is a dark horse? I think it's like...
I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's like the top.
I think to win the tournament.
Yeah.
Oh, you think it's like the number one seed? You should have seeded these 1 through 16.
Well, I was trying to match them up between like what was going to be like Walmart and Target. Yeah, they're going to be.
That was a colossal first round matchup.
I mean, I feel really bad for Green Acres because it didn't get one vote.
Oh, what is that? I've never even heard of it.
It's on the south side. It's like a health food store.
I would have voted for it based on the TV show.
Yeah.
Which is excellent.
But Brahms Fresh Market, though.
Yeah, Brahms is the best.
Yeah. I mean, I want Brahms to win for sure. Brahms or Crest, now that Aldi's out.
Super Target, it needs to win.
I don't think it will.
I don't think it will either.
Do you think being from Choctaw shaped our grocery store lives?
Crest?
Because it's like, I love Crest because that's where I
went.
I love Target because...
That's where we went? I don't know.
That's how we avoided pregnancy.
Seriously, though. Like, we would go to Target. Yeah. Sarah used to work at Blockbuster. May it rest in peace.
Oh, I didn't even say this. One of the reasons that I love Super Target so much is because it was my first job.
Oh, damn. You waited until the last second to tell us that?
First job I ever had was a Super Target on Northwest Expressway.
You always love those first jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Super Target was dope. Discounts. Deep discounts. I bought so many digital cameras.
Wow. What like did you do with all those?
I kept breaking them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
man.
Like 2007. Shout out to Target.
Shout out to Target. You're the winner of this round. Well, I guess we're going to wrap it up then. If you want to, you can follow Ryan Drake on Twitter at Rake, R-A-Y-K-E.
Yes.
You can also follow Sarah on Twitter. She's public. She's public. She just went public.
Open up your DMs.
No one DMs me. It's Mallory.
So we're telling everyone to slide in her DMs.
Yeah, everybody slide in her. Because she's obviously on Tinder. Like, if you're interested.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can make DMs.
You can make your DMs public. You can make where anyone can DM you.
Blue Girls Back. So BLUGRLBACK.
Blue Girls Back. What is that?
Okay, so backstory. My mom, my first email was bluegirl317.
Oh, gosh.
I don't even remember. Hotmail. I had a Hotmail. Okay.
You're still better than AOL.
My mom's is Cobalt based. So
yeah. Oh,
mother daughter blue thing.
And Sarah's mom has a ton of blue glass.
Yeah. So when I was getting back on social media, it was Blue Girls Back.
There she is. Man. She's back.
BLUGRL.
BLUGRLS.
Kara Singh. What was Kara Singh says?
I think that was what it was first when Bryce started it.
Oh, like, okay.
The first year my tweets are quotes from my life that I didn't know existed.
I can't wait.
So follow them. You can also follow OKC Over Easy if you want to.
It is my favorite Twitter account. I will, as a cosign.
That's nice of you to say.
OKC Over Easy is my favorite thing in Oklahoma City right now. Your Twitter account is incredible.
I was like,
I wish you would tweet more about non-food stuff, honestly.
When I'm like, this is not a food tweet. Please look away. This is what you came for is a great song.
Yeah, I just need you to, I just want like daily Fifth Harmony updates from OKC Over Easy.
I can do that. I can definitely do that. Yeah, follow OKC Over Easy, review the podcast. I don't know when I'm going to talk about this, but if you review the podcast and say what restaurant I should go to, I'll go to that restaurant. The last one I went to was Che.
Love Che.
Yeah, Che was great. I went and sat at the bar. I had 2 gin and tonics.
Oh, you didn't try the soju?
And then they gave me a shot of the soju.
Yeah.
And I was faded.
Are you soju?
I also had the egg rolls and the zucchini buns. And what does that mean? Are you soju?
That's what you asked me in the car.
I may have asked Ryan if he was a Jew in the car.
It's okay.
I feel really bad about it because he's brought it up like 5 times.
This is really funny. The way you said it was funny. Because people are like, oh, are you Jewish? He was like, are you a Jew?
He was like, please don't say that. Please ask me if I'm a Jewish. I was like, I don't know the proper terminology on this one. Soju. I had the soju, though. At Che. And I've eaten there before. So I've had other things there before. But it was a really good experience. It was a Sunday night. It was great. I like Che a lot, and I feel like it's hopping though. Everybody's like, oh, have you gone to Che?
Every time I've been there, it's not been that busy.
But I feel like people talk about it a lot.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. It's good.
It's trendy.
It's really good. So shout out to Lindsay. Thank you for reviewing the podcast. And the next one coming up, I'll be going to Tucker's again.
Why? Well, Tucker's is great, but I don't know if there's a reason.
I didn't like it the first time I had it.
Oh, why?
It just wasn't that good to me. I don't know if I got the wrong thing or what.
Were you doing like burgers?
I got a burger and fries, and it was the 23rd Street location. And so I said on an earlier episode of the podcast, like, I didn't like it. It was too greasy.
First of all, best burger in Oklahoma is Johnny's.
Whoa. That is really? My
number one.
I can't get past Johnny's cheese.
That's the best part.
Yeah, I like the cheese for sure. But it's not Johnny's the best excellent. Burger.
No, it is.
Okay. Fact. There's like a whole episode about burgers and fries and shakes.
Of OKC Over Easy?
Yes.
Over Easy is Randrick's favorite thing.
Yet he has not listened to change the name of this podcast to Freedom Fries.
I love your Twitter account.
He's like, I've actually never been on a podcast before. I've never listened to your podcast
is this,
before.
When do people call in? I'm waiting for that to happen.
They call in on the headphones.
I want someone to call in for sure. Anyway, I'm going to have to go back to Tucker's because Bryce left a review. But if you want to leave a review on iTunes, I'm not really sure what that does.
Oh, God, can I make you go to like a real shitty restaurant if yes. I leave a review? Oh, I can't wait.
And I'll pay for it with my own money. I mean, I'll do
oh,
it.
Oh, I'm going to make you go to Vast.
I would love that. I would love to go to Vast.
I have a gift certificate. All right, we'll figure it out.
But if you leave a review, I will go and I'll talk about it. But I liked Che a lot, so I'll be going back there. It's just right down the street from my house. But thanks, Sarah, for coming on last minute thank and you. Telling us about our...
Sarah, you're the MVP of this episode.
Yeah, she wore the real MVP.
She put her headphones back on so she could tune us out.
The whole world knows way too much about me now.
I love it.
But follow me on Twitter.
Follow Sarah on Twitter, Blue Girls Back, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Way to go, Target.
Everybody say bye.
Bye. Love you, Target. Bye.